From the Hill Country of Texas, this is One Radio Network. And a very pleasant good morning to you, dear heart. This is One Radio Network. At our new improved time at 10 a.m. Central Time. It's good to have you here. Glad you found us. And it's a Tuesday, June the 9th, 2009, just in case you're lost. We're broadcasting live from the center of the universe, Tripping Springs, Texas. We think it is here anyway. Broadcasting live worldwide on OneRadioNetwork.com. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, we'll be talking with Mr. Andrew Goss, all about the real world of money. And we have lots to talk about on Thursday morning, a lady who says that this flu thing is going to really hit big in the fall, which also goes along with our linguistics that we're getting from Cliff High at Half Past Human. But she says it's not from piggies or birds or anything like that. It's simply the folks are going to get it, those who choose to get vaccinated. So that's curious in as itself. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk with a doc, a PhD, about some interesting research that he does with the medicinal uses of marijuana. And speaking of marijuana, we're going to go to Nova Scotia, east part of Canada, and say hi to Rick Simpson, who's been doing some very interesting work with hemp oil and cancer and stuff. And Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Patrick.
Nice to talk to you. Exactly where are you? Nova Scotia?
I'm in northern Nova Scotia, yes.
Uh-huh. And that's east, right?
Right on the east coast of Canada, yes.
Uh-huh. Still has spring begun to sprung there yet?
We're starting to get some, yeah, finally. It was a long, hard winter, though.
They all are tough up there, huh?
Well, we do tend to get our fair share of it, but, you know, it's still, Canada's a beautiful country, and I guess you learn to live with the climate. I mean, a little bit of cold weather you got to put up with.
And you like it, obviously, or you wouldn't be there.
Well, I'd like to see the country run a whole lot different than it is. I mean, like I said, we live in a beautiful land, but it's too bad that it's run by such corruption.
Are you guys as crazy as we are?
Oh, probably about the same.
Yeah. It's all the same. Is Canada still under British rule, technically?
Well,
it's still a Commonwealth, or still does?
Yeah, as far as I know, we're still part of the Commonwealth. Yeah, they still, you know, go on about the Queen and all the rest of it.
Oh, do they really?
I don't really pay much attention to it.
Yeah. How are they up there as far as health freedoms? Certainly most of the hemp, almost all the hemp we get in this country, hemp seed, hemp oil, hemp protein powder, it all comes from Canada.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it does, yeah. They grow industrial hemp up here.
Uh-huh.
But they do have a thing up here in Canada called the Marijuana Access Program. And there's, I don't think, somewhere around 2,000 people actually have the licenses to possess hemp or to even grow it, you know, for medicinal needs. But it's just totally ridiculous. I mean, the medicine does come from the most potent strains of the hemp plant.
Now, the medicine then comes, Rick Simpson, from the plant that we used to smoke 30 years ago, but not the industrial plant. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so let's differentiate that. We'll call it hemp and marijuana. Is that okay?
Well, history calls it hemp.
History calls it hemp.
I hate the term marijuana because that's the term that the governments and the companies use to outlaw this. They use the word marijuana to villainize the hemp plant to the public.
Oh, I see. We'll just call it hemp then. So the difference between hemp that you are using in your cancer work and research and hemp oil and the stuff that they make shirts out of is what?
Well, the main difference is industrial hemp has very little THC content.
I see.
And that's what the government calls hemp. Anything with higher amounts of THC content or cannabinoid content, then the government has put that handle on it, marijuana. I mean, the truth is marijuana is just one of 400 slang terms used worldwide to describe the cannabis and or hemp plant. So it's just a slang term, really.
So is the THC part of the component that is involved with the healing of it? And we're going to get into more of that with this doctor up in Colorado later on. Do you know Dr. Melamed?
Oh, yes. I've spoken to Bob a few times. He's a very nice man.
And he's a PhD in, I think, what is it, biochemistry? Or?
Well, he teaches hemp medicine at the University of Colorado.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the few people that actually teach a course in it. So Bob is very well versed on this issue.
So is it the THC then, Rick, that we're after here as far as the medicinal properties?
Well, the THC and its associated cannabinoids.
See, cannabinoids.
There's about 60 cannabinoid compounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within the hemp plant, and it's that balance of these different cannabinoids that creates the healing effects. So it can vary from strain to strain. Some strains, basically, most all strains, all the heavy indica strains, I found basically all of them will cure cancer. But some strains are more effective for pain relief than others.
Now, cure cancer. Cure cancer. Now, tell me about that. How did you come upon this idea?
Well, in 1972, my cousin died a horrible death at 25 years old from cancer. And I watched him go from 200 pounds right down to about 55 pounds when he died. And about 3 years later, I was leaving work one day, this would be about 1975, and a report came on the radio, at our local radio station here in Amherst. This reporter or announcer come on, and he was laughing like a fool, but he said, this report just in, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, has been found to kill cancer cells. But I didn't, when he was laughing and everything, and I thought it was just some kind of a joke or something.
Mm-hmm.
So time went on, and I never heard nothing more about that. So it was years later, 97, I wound up with a head injury I suffered at work. So they put me on the chemicals and all of that. So for a year, I took all these chemical medications, and then about a year after I was injured, I was watching an episode of The Nature of Things with Dr. David Suzuki. And they had several people on there that were smoking marijuana or hemp for their medical conditions, and they were getting good results. So I went out and I bought some hemp and I smoked it. And sure enough, it worked better than anything that the medical system was giving me.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I went right back to the doctors and I told the doctors, I wanted a prescription for this because it's legal for them to give a prescription. But no, it's still under study. It's bad for the lungs, all this nonsense. That's all I got from the doctors.
Right.
Well, then about 2 years in 1999, I was in my family doctor's office one day, again asking for a prescription, and of course, I was refused. But I was sitting there, and I looked at him, and I said, what would you think, I said, if I took the hemp plant and made the essential oil from it, and then ingested that oil, as opposed to smoking the plant material?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that would be a much more medicinal way to use the substance, but he still wouldn't give me a prescription. Of course, me like a fool, I would take a little, like a lot of the time they would have me on different medications and they would just call me out of the blue and ask me, how are you making out in this medication? And I'd say, well, I'm not, it's not working. Well, then they would take me off for a week or two before I could get back to Halifax to get another prescription. So I would fill the gap with oil. And it was helping me somewhat, but these chemicals they kept giving me were having a very detrimental effect on my mind. My thinking processes were... Well, by 2001, they wrote me off. They just told me, they said, there's nothing more we can give you. We've tried everything. And at that stage of the game, I was in a chemically induced stupor. I couldn't remember anything. If I started to read a sentence, by the time I got to the end of the sentence, I couldn't remember what I was reading about.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I hated it too.
Yeah, I bet you did.
They cut me loose, and then I started taking the oil on a regular basis. And in a few months, my thinking... capacity came right back, my mind cleared. But then in 2002, I'd had these things. I had one by my eye and one on my cheek and one on my chest, these areas that had been bothering me for years. So I went in and the doctor looked it over and he said, well, it looks like skin cancer. And he said, the one by your eye, that's the one we're most worried about.
Uh-huh.
So they took me in and they operated on that one. I guess it would have been January of 2003. So they removed it. And about a week later, I was sitting at home, and I was looking at the area, and it was pretty angry looking. And it really wasn't a pleasant experience going in and having this removed. And I still had to go back for these other two areas. So I was looking at this area where they had taken the cancer, or cut the cancer out, and that's when that report from the 70s came back and popped into my mind. And so I thought, well, the oil that I make is full of THC, so if I take some of this oil and put it on the other two areas of cancer, like, what have I got to lose? So I went down to the bathroom, and I applied the oil to both the other cancers, and I put a bandage on them both. Within 4 days, when I removed the bandages, both cancers were gone. And then about within 7 weeks from the time that they had removed the one surgically by my eye, within 7 weeks, it was right back again. So I put the oil on it, and 4 days later, it was gone too.
Wow.
And that's over 6 years ago, and I've never ever had to treat them again.
Wow.
So it was pretty amazing.
So you knew you were on to something there.
Oh, I went right to my doctor's office. I went into my doctor's office, and his wife was the receptionist. And there was four or five people in the waiting room that day, and I walked in, and I asked her for a copy of my pathology report from the operation. And she gave it to me, and it said right there, basal cell carcinoma, totally excised. In other words, they got it all, which they didn't. But So I just said to her, I said, dear, I said, I'd like to come back in the evening sometime and talk to the doctor about something I've been working on. And she said, well, what's this about? And I said, well, that cancer that they had surgically removed, plus the other two areas, I said, I wound up curing them all using hemp oil. Well, the minute I said hemp oil, the woman went rigid, and she started yelling, like, the doctor will not go there, the doctor will not prescribe this. And
it's,
I mean,
amazing how, it's amazing how frightened people are, aren't they? It's just amazing.
Oh, it's beyond belief.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. A natural substance that, to Rick, what's it been around for? They've used it thousands of years.
Well, man's oldest known and safest medication. It's been known for thousands of years that hemp is non-addictive.
Uh-huh.
And on top of that, it's been known for thousands of years as the most medicinal plant on this earth. And yet the Canadian government in 1923 had the nerve to take the most medicinal plant on earth out of medicine.
Well, of course, you know, it goes on, as you know, Rick, all the time with Rife machines and whatever, ozone and God knows what else they go after that works. And yeah, they just don't like things that work. So that's really interesting. Now, so you mainly work with the oil then, Rick Simpson, now with people and make the oil yourself?
Well, that's what I started doing after I cured myself and seen the way the medical system responded to me. They didn't seem to want to have nothing to do with it.
Right.
So I started supplying the oil to several people that I knew that had medical problems, and it just kept working on everything.
Uh-huh.
And I started building up like a body of evidence. I was going out taking video equipment with me and videoing, you know, infections and things like that.
Right.
You know, as proof. So I built up, I had quite a bit of evidence built up, and then in 2003 I started contacting everyone in government. David Suzuki, I contacted him. All of these different political parties in Canada, two federal ministers of health. We went to the Canadian Cancer Society. We even went to the United Nations. And in the end, we found out that there was no one that was even interested.
Yeah, cancer is just too big of a deal, isn't it, Rick?
It's big business.
Yeah, it's just billions and billions, and they don't want to risk that.
Well, I mean, the public should stand up and realize. I mean, when you look at what these doctors are doing to people, I mean, who besides a doctor would ever tell you that poison could be beneficial for your medical condition or that radiation could be good for you?
And we've seen some stuff, Rick Simpson, not stuff, but research. It shows that when people do the chemo, they have no better results whatsoever than the people that don't do the chemo, and then they don't get blasted.
Well, right in the medical journal Lancet, they did a study quite a few years ago, and they came right out and said in the study, I think they took 600 people that had cancer, and half them took nothing, the other half took chemo.
Yeah, maybe that's the one.
The Lancet magazine, it came right out and said, chemotherapy is just a faster way to die. The ones that lived the longest were the ones that took nothing.
So let's invite the listeners in if they have a question for you for Rick Simpson up in Canada. And Rick has a website called phoenixtears.ca, right? Phoenixtears.ca. And you can also email runfromthecure@live.ca, and you can get instructions on how to make oil, is that right?
Yes. When we put the video out, we put the, if you go to phoenixtears.ca and click on Making the Medicine, very detailed written recipe up there on how to do it yourself. Plus, on the video, we showed people how to do it.
I see. And let's invite the listeners in, 888-663-6386, here on a live Tuesday morning, as live as we can get, 10 a.m. Central Time. Our new time is 10 a.m. each morning on OneRadioNetwork.com. This is Patrick Timpone, June 9, 2009, 888-663-6386. Email questions are fair, patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. So with your experience, do you think then the oil is the most effective, efficient way to use this plant?
Oh, yes, by far.
Oh, is it really?
The oil is the medicine.
Uh-huh.
There's no question.
But now the hemp oil we get at Whole Foods from Canada, from the other kind of hemp, the industrial, that doesn't have the healing properties. Even though we think it's good for us, it doesn't have the healing properties per se.
No, that's correct.
Is that correct?
That's hemp seed oil that they're selling. They just label it as hemp oil.
I see.
If you look at the back of the bottle, it will say hemp seed oil.
And then the difference that you're making is hemp, it's actually from the leaves?
It's right from the bud of the plant.
Oh, from the bud?
Right from the very best part, the same bud that people buy to smoke.
I see.
That's what I use to make the medicine.
And is it difficult to make the oil?
No, it's actually, once you do it a couple times, it's really no harder than making a cup of coffee.
Really?
It's a very simple process, and this is the beauty of this medicine. It's medicine for the masses.
Yeah.
Something we can all grow ourselves, and something we can produce ourselves. And it does work.
Now, give us a quick idea. So, for folks, just to give them an idea, you have the buds there, and instead of smoking it, then how do you make the oil? You don't have to go through all the details, but just the basic concept.
Well, if I was making a cancer treatment, I would take 1 pound of good high-grade indica bud, somewhere up and around 20% THC. And that's the type of hemp that makes you, when you smoke it, it makes you want to go lay down.
Oh, so the indica is like, is that a strain that's pretty strong?
Oh, yes. Well, there's sativas, there's indicas, and there's ruberalis. Well, ruberalis is more like Russian industrial hemp.
Okay.
But the sativas and the indicas are the main ones that have the most strength. But sativas tend to energize people.
Okay.
If you want to go do things, it's great for depression. Like an oil from a sativa would be very beneficial for somebody that was depressed. But for somebody that has terminal cancer or serious diseases like that, like sleeping and rest are a very important part of the healing process.
So indica is better for that.
Indica is much better.
And how do you know what the heck you're getting if you get the hold of these?
I sit down, people come here, they bring a pound here. And I sit down and I smoke about half a joint. And if it makes me kind of want to melt into the chair and go lay down, then that's the stuff I'm looking for. But all I have to do is, I need, like for the average cancer treatment, if it's high-quality bud that I'm using,
right?
One dry pound, it has to be bone dry,
mm-hmm.
One dry pound will usually produce in around 60 grams of this oil. And all I'm doing is just taking that dry pound of bud, putting it in a bucket, and then using a solvent such as ether or naphtha or alcohol to rinse the THC off the plant material.
Oh.
And then it's filtered off through coffee filters, and then you just boil off the solvent, which leaves the oil behind in the rice cooker. It's a very simple way that we explained it. You know, you can use household appliances to produce your own oil.
Uh-huh.
Although I would sooner see this done through distilling methods where you're reclaiming the solvents and everything. But most people don't understand distilling, so I just wanted to put a very simple way out that anybody could produce their own medicine.
And what's distilling methods? I mean, what's that about?
Well, you're using a still, and you're boiling the solvents off, and you're reclaiming the solvents, so you can reuse them.
Kind of like making liquor.
Same idea.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea, exactly. But once the solvents have been boiled off, I do a little purification process with a few drops of water, too, which we show in the video. And once it's boiled down in the rice cooker, I just put it in a little finishing, a little stainless steel measuring cup, and then I put it on a coffee warmer. And usually, within an hour or two, usually when you put it in the coffee warmer, there'll still be a little bit of activity, a little bit of bubbling going on. But once most of the bubbling has pretty well ceased, then you can draw the oil right up into these plastic syringes, and it's ready to take.
And you take it internally, the oil?
Yes.
And does the oil have psychoactive properties where you feel a high of some kind?
Oh yes, yeah. Well, a lot of people have taken the treatment. See, I start people off with little tiny doses, and they work their way up. And a lot of people actually have taken the treatment and said they never got high. But I mean, when you're looking at something with the safety that hemp has, I mean, who cares if they get high? It's not going to hurt them. And the high is what's providing that sleepy feeling.
Oh, okay.
High is what's killing the pain. So the more high, the better in a lot of respects.
Okay, so that's the concept that people use in the medical marijuana when they smoke it for pain. The same idea, where they get the high, but then that's what's really subduing the pain.
Well, the trouble is with the smoking it, I mean, the minute you light a joint on fire, over 90% of the medicinal aspect of the plant material just went up in smoke.
Yeah, I would suppose so.
You know, but you don't get the real magic with this plant until you ingest the raw, unburned THC, and then it's just amazing what this plant can do.
Really? So would folks do this as a preventative as well of stuff, or do we know that? Do we know the answer to that?
Well, and from my experience, I know the answer to it, and as far as I'm concerned, every man, woman, and child on this planet should be taking small doses of this medicine every day.
Really?
Like a vitamin. I mean, look, children today, I'm not talking about getting kids high or anything, but like the cod liver oil capsules they gave us when we went to school, if they would just add a little bit of THC to that, then the THC builds up in a person's system. And then diseases like cancer, diabetes, MS, so many of these horrible diseases could be prevented if they would just use this medicine the proper way.
Good. Then the doctor that we're going to talk to, PhD type in Colorado in a few minutes, he'll be able to explain. I can ask him some of the more medical kinds of questions of why this stuff works. That's fascinating. Now then, people, and so it's mainly the oil is what you use.
The oil is exactly, that's all I use for the medicine. I never tell people to smoke pot. This is, you either use the oil topically for infections and skin conditions, or you can vaporize it for lung conditions, such as lung cancer.
Oh, and put it in one of those, what do they call those things, Rick? Those
vaporizer, yeah, little electric vaporizer.
Yeah.
And but I always recommend, like people with lung cancer, I always recommend that they ingest the oil and vaporize also. But I've had a lot of people that actually still went through the treatment, but they didn't use the vaporizer.
Mm-hmm.
Still cured their lung cancer.
Cured it?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, well, I have to say, we treated all different types of cancer with this oil. The hardest people to actually treat are the people that have gone through the medical system and have suffered all the damage from the chemotherapy and radiation.
Yes.
That's the hardest thing to overcome.
Their immune system is so compromised at that point.
Well, we've actually had people that were dying of terminal cancer, and we cured their cancer. But some of them...
What kinds of cancer, Rick Simpson?
Oh, well, lung cancer, bowel cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, brain cancer.
Taking the oil?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, see, what happens is when you take the oil, when you're ingesting like the full 60-gram treatment, the average person takes about 3 months usually to take it.
Okay.
So as you're ingesting this oil, the THC is building up in your body, and it goes everywhere. So wherever it comes in contact with cancer, well, cancer doesn't have a very good day.
The THC?
Yep.
That's pretty amazing. No wonder they've been using this stuff for thousands of years. They figure that out.
Well, it's a natural antibiotic, and it's also a natural anesthetic.
Now,
there was a Chinese surgeons 200 years after Christ. They were using a mixture of the resins, THC resins, and wine as an anesthetic.
Oh, really?
And they were doing painless surgeries and operations. It was just amazing. I look today, the anesthetic they use today, it causes brain damage, for God's sake.
Boy, it's tough on you.
Yeah, very tough on you.
So do you had mentioned the antibiotic. So do we know if the hemp oil has some kind of... beneficial effects on viruses and bacteria and parasites and stuff?
Well, I think it's beneficial on all of it, anything like that. I mean, when you look at the medical system today, like especially the people like that have diabetes, have these diabetic ulcers that won't heal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this you put this oil on a diabetic ulcer, and it will heal it.
Really?
Now, what's the medical system got?
Yeah, not much anything.
They just sit there and they wait for that ulcers that turn into gangrene, and then they start lobbing off the foot or the leg. You know, it's totally absurd what they're doing.
Yeah, it's out of control. And now, well, do you get some grief from the boys in that think they're in charge up there for doing this?
Well, I've been through the system. I mean, in 2005 and 2006, I was raided by the RCMP, and I was growing the plants right in my backyard, and I made no secret of it. Matter of fact, there was a full-page newspaper article done a year before I was ever charged.
What's the RCMP?
Anyway, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, yes.
Oh, great.
But there was a full-page newspaper article done a year before I was ever charged. So, I mean, I'd gone to everyone. I mean, I wasn't trying to hide this. I wanted people to have the cure. But I found out how corrupt the whole damn system is.
Sure. And today, do they give you any grief?
Well, no. Since I was sentenced about a year and a half ago, they haven't been near me.
What do you mean you were sentenced?
Well, I went through the court case. In 2005, they charged me with cultivation, trafficking, although I was giving the medicine away free.
Right.
The minute you pass a joint nowadays in Canada, or anything like that, that's classified as trafficking.
Oh, really?
There's any money involved or not. And then they had me charged with possession. So, I mean, I went through, then to 2006, I had another 1,100 clones in my backyard in 2006, and when they came that year, they didn't even have a search warrant. They just come in and said that they were with the marijuana eradication program. They didn't arrest me. They didn't search my house. They just went in the backyard and took the plants. So that's the kind of, you know...
But did you ever get in... whatever happened to that case, all those charges?
Well, we went through a charter challenge, and I submitted 48 sworn affidavits from different people that had used the oil for all kinds of different medical conditions.
Uh-huh.
The judge just said that they're anecdotal. In other words, they don't mean anything. They're not important. And then he said that I exhibited no life-threatening illnesses myself. Well, I'd had skin cancer, plus I had post-concussion syndrome, which... I was using the oil. It keeps my blood pressure down. It helps me sleep. So, I mean, for this judge to say that I exhibited no life-threatening illnesses, it was just totally ridiculous. So at that point, I basically gave up on your charter of rights. That was a charter challenge that I went through. And then they were trying to get me to do it again, and I thought, well, what's the point?
Yeah, you don't want to go in there and play that game because you know you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I just turned around and I said, well, let's take it right into the Supreme Court of Nova Scotia.
Good for you.
So that's what we did, and we got 12 jurors. You know, I had a jury trial, but when we started the trial, I mean, they brought six RCMP officers in to testify against me, but in the end, they wound up testifying for me.
And so you won.
No, I didn't win.
You didn't win. Now, why did the jury go against you, for God's sake?
Well, what had happened, like I had 10 patients there ready to testify.
Right.
And I had six doctors all subpoenaed. Of course, the doctors weren't there because they wanted to be, believe me. But what I was going to do was put the patient on the stand, let them tell their story, and then put their doctor on right behind them.
Right.
That way the doctor couldn't lie.
Right.
But they wouldn't allow any patients on the stand. They wouldn't allow, I had mountains of scientific evidence to back me up. They wouldn't allow any of that. So the only person that could testify for me was myself. So, I mean, but the police, like the RCMP, when they were testifying, when I do the cross-examination, I would hold up the piece that they had wrote in the newspapers a year before I was ever charged. I said, you know, would a criminal go to a newspaper and have full-page articles done detailing everything he's doing? And, of course, the RCMP had to say no. And then also, I had supplied the RCMP in May 2005, 3 months before I was raided, I supplied them with a videotape. And on that tape was cancer patients and patients of different people that had used the medicine for different things. I asked the RCMP for what they confiscated so I could make more medicine. And I also wanted some of our local politicians charged with criminal negligence causing death. But 3 months later, I never hear a word from the RCMP. 3 months later, the same detachment that I had taken the tape to come in and arrest me, or charge me. So during the court case, I asked them about this tape. I said, what about this tape that I've given you people? And they all said, well, we know of this tape, but we've never seen it. And I would ask them, I said, well, is it common practice for the RCMP not to look at evidence? You know, and to that, I didn't even get an answer.
Well,
so,
I...
so The whole thing was...
So whatever, did you ever get any more trouble over it? Fines or jail time?
Well, no, what happened? I mean, I did testify in the case myself, for myself.
Right.
And, like, everybody thought I had won hands down. But then the jury was out for about 3 hours, and they called us, said the jury had reached a verdict, so we came back into the courtroom, and I was sitting there, and the Crown Prosecutor was missing. So I was about 3 or 4 minutes later, and he comes, and he sits down. Well, then there was a lady in the audience, and she had seen him leaving the jury room. Well, that's jury tampering. You're not allowed to do that. So the judge was made aware of what had happened. He did nothing. It's just like they just pretended like it never happened.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Right.
But when they took me in for the sentencing, the judge committed himself and said, he said, in my 34 years in the legal system, he said, I've never seen a case like this. There was no criminal intent. And then he came right out and said it. He said, the scientific evidence does exist to back up everything he's saying, plus he has all these people that are saying the same thing. And I was facing 12 years in jail. They gave me a $2,000 fine, and they didn't even put me on probation. And I think the only reason they gave me the fine was because I kept telling the court off. I mean, I know this subject, and I know what this medicine can do. And the way they behaved was nothing short of pathetic.
So because of that, are you kind of have some indemnity now because you've already been tried for this? You can't be tried again for similar?
Oh, no. They could come in and charge me again tomorrow.
For the same thing?
Oh, yes.
Well, see, because in this country, they can't do that.
Well, see, I was
double jeopardy is what that's called.
I know what you mean about double jeopardy, but this is a whole different ball game.
What do you mean, Canada?
Well, no, it's like, you know, if you commit a murder, you can't be retried. If you've gone through a trial, you can't be retried. That's double jeopardy.
I see. Oh, so maybe
I went through the trial, but they still the jury found me guilty. So if they charged me tomorrow, I'd be facing the same charges all over again.
Well, as you know, and you probably have figured out, and it's the same here, Rick Simpson, in this country, that you really the only way to win with these people is not go into court, and there are ways to do that. And if you ever get in a jam again, call me, and I'll turn you on to some people that can help you. Because if you get into court, you're going to lose.
I'm already looking in that direction.
Okay, because you know what I'm saying. It's the same way in this country. It's all a farce. These people do whatever they want to do.
Oh, the big money.
You figured that out already. You didn't need me to tell you that.
Well, I tell people all the time. I said, look, the big money is running the whole show. The government's doing whatever big money wants.
Sure.
Government controls the legal system, the medical system, and everything else. And we're the ones paying with our lives.
And all these courts, they're all for profit.
Yes.
They're all for profit, and so it's just a scam, you know, the attorneys and the judges, but that's another story. Well, that's pretty wild. So let's see. I appreciate you spending some time, and now here's a tricky question that I know I'm going to get a lot of emails on. I've already gotten two. How do people get the seeds? I mean, here they are in Omaha and New York and all over the country in the world. How on earth do people find the seeds so they can grow this plant and make the oil? I mean, how do they do that?
Well, in the States, about the only thing you can do is go to underground growers and get some clones or get some seeds from underground growers. But see, here in Canada, we can buy the seeds.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, we're allowed to buy the seeds in Canada. But the only thing is we're not allowed to grow them. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Can you ship the seeds out without them being irradiated? I guess you could have used...
If
you disguised them, huh?
You'd have to disguise them, yeah. You'd have to be very careful. Well, Mark Emery out, he ran Cannabis Culture magazine here in Canada, and I think they just gave him a 5-year jail term in the States for selling seeds to Americans.
Oh, really? Oh, you mean in the States charged him, but he lives in Canada?
Yeah, the States came to the Canadian government, and they extradited. They're having him extradited to the States to do 5 years in jail for selling the seeds of the most medicinal plant on earth.
Oh, these guys are out of control, aren't they?
Talk about absurd.
Yeah, it's beyond absurd. Well, for what it's worth, I don't know what's happening up there, but I think this is all coming to a head. This is going to all be part of the whole Obama administration with the new healthcare reform, and most people know this is going to go nowhere fast. So I think in the next few years, we're going to reach a tipping point, and people will just tell the government to leave them alone. And that's really where it's all going to work, right? To say you don't, because they don't really have any authority. They're just making they're just making this up as they go.
Well, once the people know, I mean, I had a doctor in the States call me here about a year ago, and he asked me, he said, Rick, he said, when you put that video up on the internet, he said, what were you thinking?
Hmm.
And I told him, I said, look, I said, when every second person knows how to cure their own cancer, how's the system going to stand against it? And he laughed, and he told me, he said, you're right. And he said, what you done? He said, you let the genie out of the bottle. And he said, they can't put it back in.
That's
and
right.
Now,
that's
now
right.
We've got people all over the world producing the medicine for other people, for themselves and for other people, and they're getting the same results that we achieved. So it's just a matter of time now. With the,
yes.
And in Europe, unfortunately, in North America, none of the big magazines have done anything about this, but all of the big magazines, all the big hemp magazines in Europe are doing big articles about this now.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
And oh, cool.
This is coming out of the closet real quick.
Well, Rick, thanks for your time. Give folks, again, the information where they can learn more about what you're doing and all of that. It is phoenixtears.ca, right?
Yeah.
phoenixtears.ca. And then if they would like to get instructions on how to make the oil, the hemp oil would be runfromthecure@live.ca.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have videos, I guess, all up on the Phoenix Tears.
I like to tell people, too. I said, look, you know, nobody has to take my word for anything.
Right.
All you have to do is
they can try it.
Buy 1 ounce of good hemp, 1 ounce of good hemp bud, produce the oil, take that oil and put it on a skin cancer, put a bandage on, change it about every 3 days, and watch what happens. Now, the system tells us there's no cure for cancer. Now, if that's not curing cancer, what's it doing?
So they could just try it on some kind of weird skin thing.
Oh, any, like skin warts, moles, anything unhealthy, anything to do with mutating cells. And we're using this medicine to treat everything from herpes to planters, warts.
I'll be done. And I would suspect you could rub the oil on medicinally as a preventative, and it's going to soak right in there, right? It would be good.
Well, you know, topical treatments, oh, yes. You can use the raw oil, or sometimes I make a tincture using alcohol so the oil will spread out more, like if you're treating someone like
sure.
psoriasis.
Sure, sure.
But it's wonderful for psoriasis or any of those diseases like that.
That makes sense.
Treatment.
All right, Rick, it's a pleasure. I'll keep in touch with you, and thank you for spending some time. We're going to call this this doctor in Colorado now, who he actually teaches medicinal marijuana up there.
Yes.
That's a trip, huh? Dr. Melamed. So we're going to give him a call. Thanks for spending some time with us, Rick Simpson.
Well, happy to be here.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay,
Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Know the source on One Radio Network.